While President Bush gets his new cabinet in order, Congress is busy readying for the 109th session, which begins on January 3rd. This morning, Senate Democrats elected Harry Reid of Nevada as the new Senate Democratic leader. He replaces Tom Daschle. This afternoon, protesters are gathering on Capitol Hill to oppose Arlen Specter's possible nomination as chair of the Judiciary Committee. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor, joins us in Studio 3A to help interpret the latest developments and how they could affect the next Senate. Hi, Ron.
Good to see you, Joe.
So, any ideas about Reid's strategy? What, you know, he's got a smaller Democratic minority to preside over, do you think he'll try? I mean, what can he do, first of all, or how much can he do?
He's not in charge. That's the first thing that any minority leader in the Senate needs to figure out. He is just not going to be setting the agenda, and he's not going to be able to dictate the terms of debate. When it was 51-49, as it was in the last Senate, you had a case of almost co-leaders. In this case, clearly, Senator Bill Frist, the majority leader, the Republican leader, is going to be calling the tune. He's going to be working very closely with a powerful, re-empowered White House. They have strong allies in the House. Harry Reid is going to be fighting a rear guard action.
Now, speaking of Senator Frist, the majority leader, yesterday on this program we talked about the possibility that he might change the Senate rules that would make it impossible to filibuster a nominee for the Supreme Court. That's been a Democratic move for some in this last session of Congress for certain nominees that the Democratic minority did not want to see come up for a vote and so effectively blocked their appointment to various positions. Is that, first of all, is that a possibility? And second of all, what does that mean?
Having just said that Harry Reid is not going to be in charge, let me now say that the flip side of that coin is that in the Senate, you need the cooperation of both parties to go forward. You cannot simply dictate and simply rule by majority as they do in the House and as they have done in the House for a very long time. The Senate has been a collegial body set up with extraordinarily loose rules. Any member of the Senate can bring the proceedings to a halt. So Bill Frist is going to have a tough job too, quite a different one from Harry Reid, but he'll have enormous pressure on himself. And one of the things that he's been frustrated by, and the Republicans in general have been, that the Democrats have used every tactic available to stop judges that they thought were on their way to the Supreme Court to tilt the balance on the court. Now, they let most all the district court judges go through. They let two-thirds of the circuit court, the appellate court nominees go through, but they balked at a few high-profile ones, and Miguel Estrada has become kind of the poster child for this. And the Democrats actually filibustered. There have been filibusters or tantamount to filibusters in the past. In 1968, Abe Fortas was nominated to go from justice to chief justice by LBJ. He was a controversial figure. LBJ was in his lame duck period, and the Senate actually sustained a filibuster against Abe Fortas to the point that he withdrew his nomination. There were controversies about his ethics. Now, we have also seen in recent years, when Bill Clinton was president, Republicans in the Senate, in the majority, and then briefly when they were in the minority after 2001, we have seen them use extraordinary tactics as well, including the most popular one was simply ignoring people who were appointed by the president to the bench. They just wouldn't have hearings whatsoever. And if they did have hearings, they would never have a vote on that nominee. So those people never got to the floor to be filibustered. So both parties have been using some pretty tough tactics in the judicial wars for some while.
Okay. We're talking with Ron Elving, NPR's national editor, about the new shape of the Senate. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. If you'd like to join this conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 800-989-8255. That's 989-TALK. Or you can send an email, totn@npr.org. Well, let's talk about the other issue that I brought up at the start of this segment, which is Arlen Specter. He's managed to upset the Republican leadership. What did he do, and what does he want to do?
Arlen Specter would like to be chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He's in line for it. He's the most senior member who doesn't have a committee chairmanship. He is the man who is in line, that is, on the Judiciary Committee, and he would like to be chairman of that committee. He says it's what he's wanted ever since he came to the Senate in 1980, and now it's his turn. Orrin Hatch is stepping down after a six-year term limit in the chair. And he would have it without question, but he is a moderate Republican who has frequently voted a pro-choice line and a pro-abortion rights line, and who opposed some pro-life judges in the past, particularly Robert Bork, 1987. Seems like a long time ago, but in the memory of people who care about this issue enormously, that is only yesterday. So they're holding it against him, and he also said some things right after the election about don't think the president ought to send somebody up who's too obviously against Roe v. Wade because that person won't get confirmed. Some people thought that meant that our inspector would personally bottle it up in the committee. He never said that, and he has said many times he would not bottle it up in committee. He's only saying he does not think such a person would be confirmed in this Senate. And there, of course, he's referring to the possibility of a Democratic filibuster, which you were saying a moment ago, Bill Frist would like to cut off if he can get the votes to cut off a filibuster.
And around we go. Okay. We have an email here from Bill in Brookville, Indiana, who writes, is it conceivable that Senator Spector might bolt to the Democratic Party if denied chairmanship of the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Conceivable, yes. Likely, no. This is not the moment to bolt from a party that has 55 seats to a party that has 44 plus one independent. So he's not going to get a chairmanship by leaving to go to the Democratic Party. I think it highly unlikely.
Different situation from when the senator from Vermont, Jim Jeffords, did that.
When he did that, he flipped control of the Senate from the Republicans to the Democrats, and by doing so became chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee, which was his favorite place to be.
Here's one other email question we have from Chris in Princeton, New Jersey. She writes, or he writes, I suppose. As a lifelong Pennsylvanian until I recently moved across the Delaware to New Jersey and a Democrat, Republicans should be grateful for Senator Spector. He reaches across the aisle and garners votes from traditional Democratic constituencies, labor unions, minorities, women. He is a solid Pennsylvanian who represents the broad middle, which constitutes most of Pennsylvania. Would you agree with that? And does the Republican Party still think of itself as having a broad middle?
Well, apparently a bare majority of Pennsylvania Republicans agreed with that earlier this year when they preferred Spector to Pat Toomey, who was his conservative Republican opponent in the primary. Now, a lot of conservatives lined up behind Pat Toomey and were enormously disappointed when they came up a few votes shy of beating Arlen Spector. But most of those people obviously stayed home, or they rather stayed as Republicans in November and stayed with him when Spector won, again, a narrow but decisive margin. And to be reelected. So he apparently is satisfying most Pennsylvania Republicans, even though some very vocal ones are terribly unsatisfied with him.
Ron, we only got about a minute left, but is the lame duck session of Congress going to accomplish anything besides finishing up the year, like it or not?
Well, I think they will raise the federal debt limit. They must do, or we default on some federal obligations. They will take a swing at getting an omnibus appropriation done to take 9 appropriation bills left undone and roll them all together. But even that may not be possible in this short period of time. They may have to continue with a sort of stopgap spending bill into the new year.
No chance that intelligence reform will be sorted out before the end of the year.
Still a chance, but thus far today, the news conferences we're hearing on that subject do not sound terribly hopeful.
And the other question, just briefly, is any chance that any of these nominees will be acted on before the end of this session, or will it be safer to wait till the next session?
I just think that the committee chairs will want to have full hearings on Condoleezza Rice, on Alberto Gonzalez at Attorney General, and they'll want to take some time and exercise their usual prerogatives.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. He joined us in Studio 3A. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay, in Washington, I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.